618-1320 WILS. Let's talk about where we're going. You know, yesterday we had Rick Edelman on. He's the this financial guy, one of the top consultants in the country, talking about the future. He's very optimistic. He says a lot of the technologies that are coming, these are going to grow exponentially, and we're going to see a lot of fantastic opportunities. I want to get some more perspective on what the future brings us. Chris Martinson is with us. He's the co-founder of peakprosperity.com, author of the book Prosper, How to Prepare for the Future and Create a World Worth Inheriting. Chris, great to have you on WILS.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here with you.
Yeah. I'm curious, are you optimistic? Do you think the technologies, robotics, nanotechnologies, do you think these things are going to make our future much better?
Well, let's be clear. They're going to do some things better. They're also going to disrupt. I was just helping with NASA doing a 100-year forward-looking piece, and they had some real, you know, AI, artificial intelligence, robotics experts on there. And their view was that there's not a single job they can think of that a robot or artificial intelligence can't do better. So that's going to take a lot of jobs away, and that's what I meant by disruption. It's going to take time to figure out how to pull these pieces in, because what would we do if just, say, one company owned all the robots that could make everything we needed, but they didn't need any workers? You can understand there's some things we're going to have to work out as we go down that road.
Okay, so it sounds like you're not particularly optimistic. I mean, what do you think the disruptions are going to be worse than the benefits then? Or?
Well, no. Anytime you move through a technology cycle, there's always disruptions. The question is how easily you get through them. Can your culture manage and adapt to those? I mean, one quick example, we got GPS. I love GPS. It's fantastic. But we gave GPS to fishermen who then were able to take their trawl nets and start 6 inches to the left of where they left off last week, and as a result, fisheries collapsed all over the place because they didn't have the culture to manage this amazing technology. It just takes time.
Mm-hmm. Chris Martinson with us, co-founder of peakprosperity.com. When you look at the financial reaction to some of these technologies we're going to see, what do you think that's going to be? Do you think we'll see a benefit, or is that going to cause trouble too?
Well, you know, financially, right now, you know, I am optimistic eventually. I think we've got some pain we've got to get through because of all the money printing that the central banks did. They don't know how to bring it back in yet. Open question what they're going to do, but there's no question in anybody's mind I talk to about what would happen if the central bank stopped putting $200 billion a month of money into the markets. The answer is the markets would go down. What we've been waiting for is what is that next big thing that's going to propel the economy going forward. We had China lifting us for a long time from the Great Recession onward. They did the heavy lifting of the world's growth. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we don't have an internet. We don't have other things. The new technologies that are coming along, like I mentioned, they're two-edged swords. So, you know, we can have long-haul trucking done by autonomous driving trucks. That's great. We're going to move stuff cheaper. But trucking is the number one job category in 26 states. So it'll be very disruptive.
What about some kind of revolution in energy where we found a way to produce very cheap energy? Would that do it?
That'd be great. Still waiting for that one. Mm-hmm. I'm watching very carefully. Here's the one thing that I could be extremely bullish about if we got there. And that would be if we had some real breakthrough in battery technology. That's a game changer.
Is that coming, are we close to something like that? Or?
We're always a month away, it seems. You know, we keep getting these exciting discoveries, and batteries keep getting put forward, but I haven't seen anything come out of the laboratory into full production yet. But I've seen some really exciting early-stage stuff. This would be an area, if we had an intelligent government, we wouldn't be waiting for private industry to do this. They're doing a great job, but boy, it could really be kicked if we took, you know, mm-hmm. just a few tens of billions instead of propping up J.P. Morgan next time they get in trouble. Let's put it to something that would be of real value to everyone.
Chris Martinson with us. Find him at peakprosperity.com and his book, Prosper, How to Prepare for the Future and Create a World Worth Inheriting. But a lot of these technologies, do people really even see them coming when they happen, these revolutions?
Well, yeah, certainly, you know, there's a lot of surprises always because they emerge. But when it comes to something like battery technology, that's unless there's some real game changer that happens, those are where people, very intelligent, super smart, are picking away at this 1% at a time, you know, just getting little incremental improvements. So that's been the game for a while. I've seen a few changes in laboratories, again, where there's some things that could make a big difference. But as soon as that happens, then we can really go into the alternative energy space, and that makes a lot more sense. A lot of jobs, a lot of technology in there.
You talked about the central banks essentially propping things up, but if you're running the Fed yourself, what would you do at this point?
I'd rewind the clock 20 years ago and not make the colossal blunders they made back then. But at this point, they've got to start managing expectations down. They've got to let people know that they're not going to be able to prop everything forever, that these markets have to go off on their own. But look, here's the thing that they did that I consider unpardonable, is they threw all this money into the markets, and they knew perfectly well they were going to create a wealth gap, because that's what happens. The people who have the inside information, who are closest to that, who have access to really large capital, are able to do things that other people can't, and so those speculators get fantastically rich. And Plutarch, way back when, the Greek philosopher, said that an imbalance between the rich and poor is the oldest and most fatal ailment of all republics.
Okay.
So this wealth gap is big, it's ugly, it drove politics, it's going to continue to drive these things, because it's not fair, let's be clear, that people who produce nothing are receiving the lion's share of the benefits.
If we see the markets tank, isn't it going to be the same wealthy people that are going to take the hit for that too, though?
Sure, but they've got pretty good information, and they've got access to ways to sort of skate around these things. But yes, once the markets start to tank, axiomatic, not everybody's getting out. The doors are real small when that starts to happen.
The interest rate hikes that are coming, do you see that as a potential major problem?
Not yet, because this time the Fed is hiking interest rates in a whole new way. In the past, a hike of the interest rates was accomplished by taking money out of the market, and that created less money going into the market, and that created tightness. Uh-huh. And so that tightness was often associated with downdrafts. This time, they're raising interest rates, but they're doing that by raising the rate on the amount that they're paying for big banks to store their excess reserves at the Federal Reserve. So that doesn't actually withdraw any money. It actually gives more money to the big banks.
Okay, and there's $4.5 trillion on the balance sheet of the Fed, something like that, right?
Yeah, that's on their balance sheet, and then excess reserves are just a little over $2 trillion.
Okay, and now, do you see that as a major hindrance to the Fed right now, or something they can live with for a while?
Oh gosh, no. Let's be clear. The Fed prints money out of thin air, so there's really no limit to how big its balance sheet can get. Mm-hmm. The problem is all the distortions that are created in the market when that happens. So here's one: you drive interest rates down to 0 or maybe 1% for AAA corporate borrowers, and all of a sudden the CFO of a big corporation has no incentive to take money and risk it doing something busy like building property, plant, equipment, training people. Instead, what makes sense is you borrow money at 1%, and then you buy back shares that are yielding 2% mm-hmm. in your dividends, and you turn that crank all day long. Mm. So that's what we've seen. The Fed, when I say the Fed has enabled crazy things to happen, what we're seeing is highest levels of corporate debt we've ever seen. They've done extraordinary share buybacks. That's helped to support the market, but that's not a sustainable business model.
Did you see President Trump doing anything to take us in the right direction right now then?
On that front, not really. He's the cast of characters he brought in are very much, pretty Goldman Sachs heavy, investment bank heavy. He's got a commerce secretary who comes from business, but he's got a lot of heavy bankers in there. And this is a great thing.
And what do you think they really want at this point, the bankers? What are they hoping for in the next several years then?
Oh, a lot more money. They're very simple to understand. Banks are there to make money, and they'll do anything they need to do that, including bend laws, break laws. I mean, we saw in this last 10 years more high-level crimes by big banks than we've seen in any other period of history. LIBOR got manipulated, foreign currencies, gold market, you name it. I mean, they've just had their hands in everything.
Well, why are we not seeing more financial fear and nervousness out there?
I think it's really hard to have any show up when you have $200 billion a month flooding into the markets. That money has to go somewhere. And so, as long as the music's playing, people are going to dance. You got to worry that if the music stops, how many chairs are missing this time?
Now, we just marked the 8th anniversary of this bull market. How long can these things really run?
Well, that's pretty much about how long they can run, historically, but what's different this time is we've never had a situation where all the central banks are busy printing as fast as they can. When Europe stops, the United States will pick it back up again. So this is a really coordinated effort this time, and I get it. They're very worried. If I was sitting at the Fed, I'd be like, what do we do? Because I don't see an easy way out. Their plan was to put all this money in, rescue the financial markets, bump housing prices back up, cross their fingers, and hope that rapid economic growth was going to come back. Mm-hmm. It didn't, for reasons that I think are obvious.
Okay, so no rapid economic growth, no way out of this. Well, when do you think, I mean, are we close within a year or two, or is this something they can keep doing for a while longer?
Hard to say. They've surprised me how long they've been able to keep it going. It's pretty simple at this point in time. The prescription for what happened, the diagnosis was too much debt. Mm-hmm. And they fixed it by applying even more debt. I think it's a bad model, and so we've got way more debt and unfunded liabilities. Here's a number, real frightening for those who understand this stuff. The total IOUs in the United States, which include unfunded pensions, unfunded entitlements, all that, now stands at 1,100% of GDP. It's just gone nothing but higher in the last 8 years. It's just skyrocketed up. The only way, I was talking with Bradley Belt, former executive director of the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corps. They care about long-term stuff because they're trying to manage broken pensions. I asked him, how do we get out from under this chart? What do we need? He said, rapid growth.
That's it. So, Chris Martinson, co-founder of peakprosperity.com. Chris, thank you very much.
My pleasure.